from Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is the Experience Points Radio Show. I am MG. And Dustin, why are you taking a sip?
Nondescript beverage.
I introduced the show, and he's just like, none of my business.
Don't mind me. It's not like I'm about to immediately begin speaking.
What if you just spit it in the microphone? That'd be great.
I'm Dustin. Oh, no. I'm sorry.
This is the Experience Points Radio Show. You're listening to KSLU. Thank you so much again for listening to us. I was out. We were actually both out last week, but I've been out for like 2 weeks. So you actually manned the booth.
I did it.
You did a fantastic job. Don't pat yourself on the back. I'll do it for you.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, you did a fantastic job.
You get to places I can't reach.
That's it. Yeah, these hands, these miracle workers. We opened the whole thing up with Geeks Will Inherit the Earth by I Fight Dragons. We have a website. It's exppoints.com, double tap the P. Yes. I'm not gonna go through anything else. You were like, confirmed.
Confirmed.
10 out of 10,
I stared blankly.
You did.
I looked in the file cabinets of my brain. I'm like, yes, that is confirmed.
That sounds appropriate. We have all of our stuff on there, but I mean, let's just be honest. We're getting around to it, but it's taking a long time to go through the backlog. So
yep. But
This show,
today. Not surprisingly, this show is about E3. I think this will air Wednesday.
Yes, this will air. So we're recording a day early.
We're a day early.
On the 12th.
Yeah, so forgive us. We'll probably have to do two episodes kind of talking
about
it. We'll
probably do two episodes.
We'll see.
And it'll be... we'll probably do an episode, this episode, and this is going to be the what we can cover. Out the gate, we're going to tell you, we're going to miss some things because we're going to get caught up on topics that we really care about. And in another show, probably next week, we're going to have to fill in the blanks. And then even in a third show, we're going to talk about after we've come off of our mountaintop of a high from this E3.
And, wow. And
what a high. 420, blaze it. It actually
don't
almost is.
Do that, yeah, don't by do the way. That. KSLU is a nonprofit organization.
Can I tangent for a second? I know I never tangent, but I watched a video on YouTube. They have videos on YouTube, by the way. I watched a video on YouTube. It was 100 things you didn't know about the Tony Hawk games. And I know it's a strange thing.
Yeah.
Neversoft put the 420 in those games so much. Like, there's weird textures you can't find unless you have the expansion pack on N64. Yeah. And a lot of them say 420. I never noticed
it's
that.
It's the Illuminati of 420.
That's it. And, oh, they're skaters. I wonder why they put 420 in there. It's crazy.
So let's talk about... I've been thinking about how to talk about this E3.
We could do it chronologically.
We could do that.
But I don't think that's smart. I don't think we should do that.
I think we should talk about the highest moment of E3 to us
and then
the
lowest
moment of E3 to us.
As we see it currently in our brains today. There's been a lot of... So this has been going on since Sunday.
Yes, it's going on since Sunday.
That was the Microsoft...
Nintendo's still doing theirs right now.
Yeah, it started at 11 our time, I think, and it's still going on. And then they're about to open up the floor, I think, tomorrow, so Wednesday the 13th.
The smaller developers, some of them, I've been wanting to see what they got and everything. I know I mentioned this on my solo show that I've been really looking to seeing more about Atomic Heart, a game that was released by a much smaller studio. Mm-hmm. Hopefully they'll have something on those smaller days. I don't know. I know they don't get it. They're not going to get their own conference.
No, they'll get a tiny little square footage of a booth somewhere.
Sometimes those can be the best games. Though,
oh, yeah. No, we have some game developers local to that went to Southeastern that are now going to – they'd make the PAX Circle. They do Forsaken Castle and Duck Block Games. They have done the con circle enough to know like, okay, here's how we do small cons, here's how we do big cons. And at big cons like E3, you make sure your signage is good, you make sure your demo works, and because you can't spend months and months and months prepping for a demo like most of E3's demos.
Right, you just don't have the staff and the money and the time for something like that.
I'm sure you know this, but for listeners out there, E3 is made up of a ton of these, you know, let's just say playable demos. These demos are not what's going into the full game.
No, developers
are actually working specifically for months maybe on these demos for E3 or for GDC or for PAX or
get
for
that
whatever.
Highlight reel out there.
That's it. Yeah. So like they aren't working on the actual game. They're working on specifically this demo. And it used to be back in the day. That was kind of a crazy thing whenever you had like PlayStation Underground discs or something.
Yeah.
That
Dreamcast demos they'd mail you.
Right. Like those were actually parts of the real game. And they would just like cut off a piece of it and go, all right, this isn't in the demo. We put a block there. But I remember one game was actually the whole game. You could cheat around it and play the whole game. It was weird.
Actually, a good show might be the history of E3. I think that'd be a good one.
Oh, that because E3 used to be so good, and then it got kind of bad. But then this year
did a lot.
Right
so,
now,
however disappointed you might have been last year, I think this one helped make up for a lot of it.
I hope so. I think so.
I think so too. So, what was the high point for you, Matt? What was your This is awesome. Man. I can't believe this.
Okay. So
I know to narrow it down to try to do it to one.
Right. I think I have two. Mm-hmm. And this is not saying anything about Last of Us Part II. We already knew that was coming out. I love CD Projekt Red. I love The Witcher 3 as a game. I think it is one of the most perfect games that exists.
Pretty close.
I'm not saying it is perfect. I'm saying I think it is one of the most perfect games out there. It is a game that if I was stranded on a desert island that somehow had a good computer and a solid screen and power and I could play this, Witcher 3 would be one of those games. I've sunk hundreds of hours into it already.
Oh, yeah.
And I look forward to seeing more. So whenever they are about to do another game, Cyberpunk 2077 was announced over a year ago, I think last E3.
Yeah, yeah.
And we had a cinematic trailer for it.
Really cool, kind of noir, kind of dark cyberpunk style.
It was very much a perturbator, neon chrome synthwave-esque type of... this is the music you drive to.
Blade Runner meets synthwave.
Yes, very, very similar. We saw actual in-engine. I don't know
I
don't know if it was gameplay, but it was in-engine.
It looks like some of it might have been.
Yes.
But it looks pre-tailored.
It reminds me of Sunset Overdrive mixed with Crackdown. And,
yeah.
And that excites me. That makes me feel really happy. My heart is happy for Cyberpunk 2077. We actually see it, and it's closer.
Yeah, it feels kind of like a gruff, like everything's... what is a poor person's version of this super futuristic technology?
Right. Well, so
which I love the design.
We see it in Deus Ex. We see it in Blade Runner. We see it in pretty much every big cyberpunk game out there. And it's this sort of China and American and European fusion. And this is this is the same thing.
Right, but we always see that with things that are like fancy and pristine. This we're seeing it with stuff that's dirty.
This is just like Blade Runner in my opinion. Everything's dusty and there's grime. It's very Akira. And right. I love that. That is what I really
that's
like
a good,
about it. It's very much
comparison.
Like Akira. And that's such a because it's dark, but it's bright and it's really crazy.
I did notice one thing, and I hope there is this duality with that. When it cuts to those rich people, it starts looking like that futuristic kind of thing we're used to, which I think
Elysium or Battle Angel Alita or Akira.
And when I saw that, I was like, okay, like it's like that duality is what they're going for, and I could clearly see that. And I want more.
Close second, and the reason this is a close second instead of the first because it would have been first last year. Beyond Good and Evil 2. Ubisoft showed off a cinematic trailer where we got a little bit more of Beyond Good and Evil 2. I guess we could draw our own narrative. We can build our own story, but we didn't see any gameplay.
That's the thing that keeps me from going, oh my gosh, yeah. I need to see some gameplay here.
It's nostalgia overdrive for Beyond Good and Evil. If you haven't played the HD version, it is next week is the Steam Summer Sale. It probably will be on sale.
They had it for free on the Xbox.
What?
And I grabbed it. I can't remember. I don't know. I
can only own this game on everything for so many times.
Yeah.
I'm getting a Reddit update where Super Smash Bros. Ultimate brings back every character from every Smash Brothers game ever.
Yeah, they're doing theirs. So we're still getting, as we're doing this, still getting information
this
from
isn't
E3.
Live for you, but it's live for us.
It's live for us, and so if you hear us freak out about anything.
Right. What is your number one mega, what makes your face go yay? What is that?
Well, I'll tell you this. It made me and my roommate actually stand up, grab each other's hands, and literally jump up and down in excitement with happiness. And I think you know what I'm going to say.
Mm-hmm.
Bethesda officially announced Elder Scrolls 6.
Yes.
And I know people like there was no gameplay. There wasn't a whole
much. We just saw a fly over the map.
We just fly over the map. But you know what? I'm happy with that because that's somebody putting their foot down saying this is in development.
You know, we saw more about Elder Scrolls 6 than we did about Starfield. We know Starfield's a thing we're doing. What is it? We assume it's in space.
Well, that's about how much attention you want to give that if you don't really have anything. It's just to announce a new IP so people can go, ooh, okay.
But
you don't do that with Elder Scrolls 6.
Well, they kind of did that. They kind of did that. It was like, oh, and one more thing. And then they were like, bam, here it is.
And then they actually, I had at about 9:45, I was kind of watching it on my phone and everything, kind of playing a game, whatever. And I had stopped watching on my phone for a second. And then Miranda came, because we were tracking the Bethesda thing, because every year we kind of hoped, little fingers crossed. And we're like, I was like, you know, they probably won't, yada, yada. And Miranda, it was 10:45 p.m. She'd go boom, boom, into the room. She goes, my friend just posted Elder Scrolls 6 on Facebook. Check. And I checked, and I looked, and it says, and we're looking at the thing, and me and her are just like, ah! So the other one that came close to that where I was literally like, oh, my God. Like, this is everything.
It's happening. What a time to be alive.
Yeah, like, yeah, that was like Elder Scrolls 6. I was like, I can't even fathom. Like, this is what – I'm like, I'm so excited for this. The other one that I saw – and this was, I was super excited for that. And then the opposite end was so much gameplay and everything that made me almost as excited was Ghosts of Tsushima. I'm going to butcher the pronunciation. Tsushima.
It was a thing that Microsoft announced, right?
Okay.
Yeah,
it was. No, this was a Sony press conference. This is a Sony exclusive. Have you seen the gameplay of this?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry, I have it right here. Ghosts of Tsushima.
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 My Japanese is a little rusty.
Tsushima.
But I heard about that game, and I absolutely love Japanese culture. I love it, love it, love it.
It's the open world game.
World game by Sucker Punch, the makers of Infamous. That got
you. I missed this one.
We will watch the gameplay trailer together we're done this. But that game, I was watching it on my phone at first. I was looking at it, and then I literally stopped, turned it off. Went to the Xbox. I just got a 4K TV, turned it on, and just was just like, oh my gosh, this is the most beautiful thing in the world. This is everything I want.
I wonder, so you could watch E3 in the Xbox, right?
Oh yeah, I did watch it live on YouTube.
Was it only the Microsoft press conference of E3?
No, it was the whole thing. So those were my two high points. Elder Scrolls 6, I was like, and there were a lot of high points, man. I want to play the Goo Goo Machu out of Doom when that comes out.
Yeah, Doom Eternal looks good. Wolfenstein's getting sequels.
Wolfenstein sequel.
I love it. I'm sorry. I didn't like the DLC, though I probably will.
Yeah.
I played them. I didn't buy them. I will probably buy them.
Next
week.
The first one's DLC is great.
The first one. The second DLCs,
The third one, Rage 2, looks insane.
Did you play Rage 1?
I did.
What did you... You know what? That's a different show.
So. Yeah. That's a different show. It was over. It was unused assets from the first Borderlands game. They ended up making a game out of it. This one looks like an actual thing they cared.
The textures don't just pop in everywhere.
Yeah. Anymore. Bethesda. So Bethesda, to me, had a good showing.
Yep.
A great showing. I mean, after Elder Scrolls 6, everything else, they showed off way more of Fallout 76. We got a way better idea of what that's going to be. Multiplayer heavy, it looks like. A lot of people kind of are turning away from that because that's not the usual Fallout experience. We'll see how that is. It doesn't look like it's going to be an Elder Scrolls Online version of Fallout. Far from it. It looks like it keeps with the gameplay of Fallout 4, but with a multiplayer aspect that's central.
Seems like a mod. Like, I felt like this could be a mod. Like, if you took Fallout 4 and you stripped away all of the specific gameplay that made it a single player and only you game, like you're the focal point, that's what it looks like they're going for. But I've heard rumors, I don't have any documentation or anything that says this specifically, but I've heard rumors that from people that like, because you know, we know a lot of gamers, right? They're all, oh wow, it's about to start raining.
Again.
As we heard the generator crank up a minute ago, we're about to go pirate radio all of a sudden.
Yeah, all right. Now we can say fudge.
We can say fudge and flip.
Fudge and flip and biscuits.
Never mind. It's a different show too. I enjoyed watching Fallout 76. I want to see more of it, and I want to develop my opinion later.
Yeah, I think what was the word we used before the show?
Tenuous.
Tenuous. Tentative. Very tentative.
Very tentative. Yeah. I think there were a lot of things at this E3 that were weird. Let's cut to a song.
You guys can't see. But it looks like he's solving the Kennedy assassination.
I was about to say there's need yarn. Everywhere. I need red yarn and little pins.
And I have my phone. I just saved a bunch of documents I like. That's like how I did it.
Let's cut to a song. Light Up the Night by the Protoman. We'll catch you after this break, and we'll talk more about this. I'm MG.
And I'm Dustin.
You are listening to the Experience Points Radio Show exclusively on Southeastern Zone
90.9 KSLU.
Did you forget who you were for a minute?
And I was like, I said it with this level of enthusiasm of, I'm Dustin.
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU, still the Experience Points radio show. I'm still MG.
I will always be Dustin.
You forever.
You.
Oh, thank you.
That got cemetery. So
we just heard Light Up the Night by the Proto Men. Let's talk about more E3.
Yeah, let's talk about that. We also didn't talk about our low point, which is the second half of that.
Oh, yeah, but yeah.
But since
so
we
good,
both have the same low point, it feels good talking about this together.
It's good to be part of a community, I think, you know? So, Square Enix. There's a lot of good things that Square Enix does. For instance, we wouldn't have Kingdom Hearts. Kingdom Hearts. We would have the Tomb Raiders,
Final Fantasy,
and Final Fantasies and everything. But a while back, like I think 2015, 2 or 3 years ago, Square Enix did something that people have been yelling about since the late 90s, like 1998.
Final Fantasy remake.
Right. They wanted Final Fantasy VII remade.
Yes.
And not like Dirge of Cerberus or Cerebus or whatever. They wanted it remade. They didn't want to just remaster. We have that. It's not really much of a remaster either. It's a port.
Yeah, on Steam.
Oh, yeah, and it's not good. No. It's better, though, than some of the more recent ports that they've done of Final Fantasy VIII and IX and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Or Chrono Trigger. They butchered
that. Oh, my God. But anyway, they said that they were going to work on it. And the world, the internet exploded with joy. And they said, thank you. But then we didn't hear much about it.
No.
We've seen... YouTube is full of these fake trailers, and I'm a sucker for every one of them because I want to see something. And we just see the same remixed footage over and over again. And E3, because Square Enix doesn't do their own press conferences. No. They're not Blizzard. Blizzard never shows anything off at E3 because they have BlizzCon.
That's how big they are.
Right. ID. And Bethesda even. I'm surprised they show things off at E3 because they have QuakeCon in August. Which I'm going to try to go, but I don't know if I'm going to be able to go. And I've been to like 2 QuakeCons and I loved it. The last one was in 2009.
Whoa. Sorry, a big tree limb just fell by the window.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
But we didn't kill us. Not yet.
Yeah. Take that, God.
Heckin' trees.
Yeah. Us one, you zero.
You zero.
Try again. No, don't.
No, please. I'm grounded. I'm touching metal. We haven't heard anything about it, and E3, for Square Enix at least, it's their time to shine. So they show at the Microsoft press conference.
This was day one. This is day one.
Right. Sunday, they show Kingdom Hearts 3.
And they show Tomb Raider, too.
And they show Tomb Raider, right.
Both Square Enix games.
And then we go through the... We see Avalanche and Square Enix show Just Cause 4.
Okay. Yeah.
I think we showed. I have the paper over here, but we showed a few other things. We showed.
I like how you say we.
We,
like
you and I, both collectively.
We were
Adventures
shown.
Of Captain Spirit. That's for Life is Strange Season 2. Mm-hmm. Babylon's Fall from the makers of Bayonetta, Vanquish, and Nier. Automata, and then The Quiet Man, which is a deaf person that fights people. Maybe it's I don't know a weird Daredevil thing. But
I don't know.
Notice what I didn't say, Dustin.
Yeah.
Just. I'm trying not to get too upset about it, but it is the lowest point.
It's so bizarre to me that they wasted, I guess, and here's what I said this before the show. It's like maybe Microsoft and Square Enix did not communicate with each other.
Yeah.
Because the fact that Microsoft showed off a lot of Kingdom Hearts 3, because it's not an exclusive anymore.
Frozen World. There's Frozen. You can. Do you want to build a snowman?
Yeah.
Let it go.
And,
whatever.
Tomb Raider, the new Tomb Raider.
Shadow of the Tomb Raider.
Shadow of the Tomb Raider.
Which looks fantastic.
Right. It's just, to me, very strange that they chose to go for those two things.
Just Cause 4.
And Just Cause 4, right.
Which looks
right,
great.
They did. But what Square Enix waste so much time talking about Kingdom Hearts 3 and Tomb Raider that, one, I was live streaming it. I fell asleep.
So they did this twice. They did it in the Microsoft press conference and they did it in the Sony press conference where they played...
Yeah,
Yutada Hikaru's like single track that is like the Kingdom Hearts theme. The Kingdom Hearts theme for those, and they played it twice in both press conferences. They played it, and that wastes 2 minutes.
Yeah.
So when you consider, okay, I'm spending 2 minutes of my conference playing a background track and showing off the Toy Story world, the Frozen world, and the Pirates of the Caribbean world, all those things are great. You just ate up 2 minutes of your part of your conference.
And the thing is, it's like something like that. You can't not talk about the elephant in the room. Yeah, Matt's getting a good look at the storm.
I'm sorry. It's Tuesday. Right, it's approximately 4 p.m. on a Tuesday, and it is raining its butt off. Ain't no butt outside no more. Oh, it all rained on the floor.
Ain't no sunshine when she's gone.
Or just currently.
Yeah.
So they haven't. They took all that time to talk about all these other projects that are cool. Those developers, those projects, those teams, good job. Good on you.
Are they E3 main stage cool, though?
I don't know. So here, this highlights one of a few possibilities, right? One, it's just not ready to show. They didn't want to spend, because remember at the start of the show, we said months on a demo, and then that's it. But if they would have done, and one more thing. Final Fantasy VII Remake, Cloud comes in and goes, I'm just a hired gun, you know, and Barrett comes in as,
Tifa's like, oh, you're so attractive.
Right,
and
spoilers,
and then the girl's like, I'll be alive forever.
Yeah, I won't ever die. if they don't kill her in the game,
For real.
People are going to,
sorry, I didn't know how to push.
But it's strange that, so either it's not ready, and that's a thing, okay, it's not ready, fine, or it's not showable. Like it's in progress. They're working on it, but it's not showable. But if it's not showable, why isn't it showable?
Yeah, and that's the harder pill to swallow.
Arguably,
either one of these two options don't make a whole lot of sense to us.
Well, the Final Fantasy 15 team, and 14 team, and 13 team aren't the Final Fantasy 7 team.
Okay,
like they're not the same. They might share developers. They might share art developers or game designers or music developers or physics teams. But like, they're not all on the same team. So maybe they're not prioritizing the development of this game. And that's okay.
Yeah.
Maybe they're not sinking the time in because they want to do the not even new IPs, but new games. It's retreading Final Fantasy VII.
And that's the thing. It's like, it's hard to legitimize them not having anything with Final Fantasy VII when, in the space of time they announced 15 to now 3 years, they've released a Tomb Raider game. They're about to release another one. Mm-hmm. They finished Final Fantasy's all its DLC.
Right.
They've released different iterations of Final Fantasy for Xbox One, like
mobile games and
they've
fishing
done
simulators.
A fishing simulator.
And they've been working on Kingdom Hearts 3, and they're going to release that
and
January,
they're releasing
what, 29th?
Kingdom Hearts 3 in January 29th. So it's very hard. Maybe there's a situation where they're overloaded and they're
doing
those
things.
They
just be spread thin. Yeah.
But if you're going to do that, then probably you don't need the 5-6 different Xbox One download Final Fantasy games. Maybe focusing a little bit more of your efforts onto 7 to at least you have something.
Right.
I understand that, though, if they wanted to keep it the way they do it. That's fine. The second part is the not addressing it at all. That was what really got me to a point of, oh, that sucks, to, oh, now I think you're incompetent.
Right. Well, it shows an incompetence on a level of you don't actually know what your fans want. The people that are going to buy this product, they just want to hear anything about it.
Yes.
And when you don't even address it, when you don't say, I understand a lot of you wanted to see, you know, you don't have to get, what's his face, Nomura, whoever, to come out.
Yeah,
you don't have to get the creator of it to come out. But if you have somebody who's like, you know, we're working on Final Fantasy VII, we didn't spend a lot of time getting it ready for E3 because we wanted to get to you as soon as possible, and we don't know when that is. It'll be ready when it's ready. Don't give us the Half-Life 3 treatment, but that's what we got from E3. We got the Valve Half-Life 3 treatment where we're not going to even tell you. We're not going to talk about it anymore. And it's interesting because games, just because they tell you that the game's announced and we're working on it, it never has to be released.
Yeah.
They're not promising we're making the game and it's going to come out. They're just saying that this is what we're working on right now. And if people really like it, then great. And if they want to make money, they'll release the game. But that doesn't mean that we'll ever get Final Fantasy VII. It's possible that it's such a big thing that they drop it. And they've done it before. I can't wait. Wait, hold on. What was the? Well, I know it's been dropped. Like Duke Nukem Forever was the big one that people talked about for forever. It was in development hell for a while. But Final Fantasy also might be the similar thing. I have a lot of friends who they play Final Fantasy VII as their favorite game, and they know everything about it, and they know all the cheats, and they know all the secrets, and they know the quickest way to do this and that. But maybe some of those game mechanics aren't really directly translatable, and that's why this isn't a remaster, it's a remake. It's a re-envisioning of the game. But then at the same time, there's a lot of sort of there's that creative control that you need to exercise appropriately. You don't want to take a game that is a beloved classic and change it into some weird amalgamated, you know, remake and make it more like a, you know, you don't want to make Final Fantasy VII a first-person shooter. You don't want to make it a third-person action-adventure RPG with, you know, the same, with a gambit system, because, you know, people didn't like that. So people that loved it in Final Fantasy XII was great. People hated it in Final Fantasy XII. Okay, don't play it. You don't want to take something that people know already and expect, you know, the world of, and then change it into something completely different, because that's going to be the exact negative effect. Yeah. At the same time, you shouldn't do a direct port with just different assets, because a lot of the old stuff in Final Fantasy VII, that was a sign of the times. So I think that game came out in 97, 98. It's a sign of that. If you go back, that's a lot of tropes in video game development that don't really work the same anymore. And, you know, probably it's good that it doesn't work that way.
Deus Ex, they're not doing any more of those.
Really? They're out of Deus Ex?
Yeah, they're not doing that anymore. Well, but no, looking at their list, they've canceled a lot of stuff. Yep. Final Fantasy 15 apparently was supposed to come out for the PS3 at some point.
Wow.
If that's their idea of when their time frame should be, they're going to start really struggling in this industry now.
Yep.
Because now the cost of everything is coming up.
That was definitely our low point. And I feel like... whenever we saw each other today, it was like, man, this was great and that was great and this is a completely different E3 from last year. And then we're like, oh, but then Square Enix. And despite how amped I am about Kingdom Hearts 3, showing me more Kingdom Hearts 3, with the exception of this Pirates of the Caribbean level, which is pretty sweet, showing me more Kingdom Hearts 3 doesn't do anything for me. You gave me the release date. If you would have just posted the release date in Game Informer or something...
Yeah, that would have been fine.
That would have been great. I didn't need to see any more of it because I'm buying the game.
How much time did they waste? 9-10 minutes on that?
That's it. They played Hikaru's song twice. And, I mean, that's cool. I like her as an artist. I got into J-pop a long time ago, and I really liked it. And Kingdom Hearts was one of those things that got me into it. So it's cool to kind of get that. Though it's weird hearing Sora's voice now. Haley Joel Osment is a little bit older.
Yeah.
And significantly older. He's not Sixth Sense kid anymore. He's the weird guy off of Silicon Valley who got a DUI. So
yeah, it's not the kind of showing you bring to E3. And that's the thing.
You do a GDC or some small thing, you know.
Let somebody else have that.
Or pitch smaller projects, you know, like give it to indie people, indie developers in your studio
that
or something.
Have been too bad.
I mean, anything other. And I'm happy that
Microsoft
did
something like that too with Cuphead and stuff. Like
right,
that,
right. Yeah. The Cuphead, Dying Light 2, I think, or State of Decay 2, or something.
Yeah, they none of them were exclusives, but they gave some time to other people, which was really cool of them.
Well, because at the end of the day, you know, exclusives sell consoles, but also games on your console. It doesn't matter what games they are, sell consoles.
Right, it's the association. So I think that was a smart decision on Microsoft. Yeah. Both Microsoft and Sony were smart this year.
They did great. Let's cut to a song, come back, and talk about it a little bit sort of, and end out the show. This is Absolute Territory by Ken Ashcorp. I'm MG.
I'm Dustin.
This is the Experience Points Radio Show, exclusively on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 KSLU.
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 KSLU. This is still the Experience Points Radio Show. I'm MG.
I'm Dustin.
You just heard Helix Nebula by Anna Monoguchi. Threw in an extra one for you. Before that, Absolute Territory by Ken Ashcore. We're continuing our tentative 1 out of 2 E3 shows.
Yes.
We talked about our high points and our low points.
Yes.
Let's talk about a lot of the in-between, though.
Yeah, a lot of in-between here.
We got the announcement, and I'm pretty sure this is the first announcement of a new Halo game.
Yeah, Halo Infinite.
Halo Infinite, because we're not going to call it Halo 6, because Halo 5 did not really do much for people.
Well, and there's a lot to interpret from the title of something. When you call it Halo Infinite and not giving it a number, what you're implying is that this is going to be something different somehow.
Maybe like a platform that we're going to add to. Because, I mean, I don't feel – this is something that I felt for a while, but I'm clearly just – constantly being proven wrong because they keep bettering these things. I use The Witcher 3 for example, Witcher 3's engine is a beautiful engine.
Right.
Horizon Zero Dawn and we'll talk about it in a minute, but Death Stranding's engine, Decima, is a fantastic engine.
Yeah.
The Frostbite engine, once it gets their stuff together, you know, that'll power all of the Battlefields for a while and Mass Effect Andromeda, unfortunately, and then also Anthem, is a beautiful engine. So being able to extend these engines is great. Why, I've thought this about sports games for a while. Why do I need to buy NFL 2K19 or whatever when I could just get a download, like a DLC, of all of the current stats for that year? So I feel like if Halo Infinite is sort of a platform that we can then add story missions, packs, whatever to, I don't mind paying $40. You know, they don't need to spend years in development making an engine to do a cool thing. Because a lot of the things that I mean, think about, did you play Halo 5 Guardians?
Yes.
So in Halo 5, did you see anything remarkably different than Halo 4?
No, not terribly.
I mean, similar vehicles, similar enemies, different maybe particle effects. Nah. Those would be the differences, but most of the game was a Halo game.
Yeah.
So why, if you already had that that engine, and we see in the Infinite sort of announcement that they're using powered by the Slipstream engine, which is cool.
Yeah, yeah, I saw that. I was like,
and maybe
okay.
That's just the new engine, maybe because we didn't know what Halo 1, 2, 3, 4, Reach, 5 were powered by. You know, it was just some whatever engine at the time. And maybe we didn't care about the names of engines at the time, you know, the ID Tech, whatever, the Unreal, whatever, or the Unity, whatever. But this is powered by Slipstream. And it looks very nice. Like, it's a beautiful-looking game. There's, like, rhinos in the... I didn't know rhinos could run that fast, but they're fast. They're rhinos running in, like, the Serengeti.
It's all Black Panther.
That's a good point. That's my... sure. That's facts.
Marvel rhinos.
Marvel rhinos. Why not? They're infused with...
they're fictional because they're still alive.
Oh, wow. Did the rain get you down right now?
The sugar wore off on the soda fizzy drink, and now everything's dark.
So we got Halo, and that's cool. Hopefully we actually get to play as Master Chief for more than 15 minutes this time.
Gears of War 5 was also announced as well. But
it looks good, but I want to know how they keep their suits so clean in the Gears of War. With all of the disgusting stuff around them, how do they keep those suits clean? Because there's parts of the suits that are like those fuzzy jackets that people wear.
Yeah.
And yet it's still clean. And I'm like, but how?
Yeah.
But how? I have the same question for like Walking Dead. Like, who cuts the grass?
Yeah.
You know, how? How does that happen? We got Crackdown, which is looking so ridiculous. That's been delayed until February, but...
Again,
it got delayed again. You and I were talking during one of the breaks where Crackdown 3 has been sort of this weird tech demo nirvana that we've been working towards, where we're going to use the quote cloud. I used bunny ears and my fingers.
Yeah,
cloud to simulate the building destruction and the environment destruction.
Getting this to work apparently has been very daunting.
Yeah, that's why you don't. Yeah, yeah. Of course it has been. But my question is, why do we care about that? I mean. Mm-hmm. So when you look at things like Battlefield, where they have mass environmental destruction, that's not using the cloud. That's just using it on you. There's some event that triggers in the game and says, hey, the building's going to fall down.
Yeah. And well, I think because taking it away from the engine puts less strain on the engine itself.
Yeah, but things are fast now. I mean, the Xbox 3...
It's getting to where it could catch up, so...
The Xbox One... Pro Plus, X, what the One X, the Xbox,
the Zox.
I hope Microsoft actually did say that they're working on the next Xbox. I hope it's called the Xbox 2.
That'd be hilarious.
Instead of the Xbox One. But
the 720.
Or they're just going to call it the X2.
Xbox, made by Tony Hawk. It's the 420.
It's not the 360 anymore.
Yeah.
Things are so powerful now. So I'm not saying like, okay, I understand if it's not powerful enough, then cool. Or if it's a fun, they were trying to tout their cloud technology, but don't hold up the game for some technology about things that people aren't going to do. At that point, then you're going to say, well, you have to be always connected online, which was, I don't know if you remember, but that was the Xbox One's big flaw at the beginning.
Yeah, it was DRM.
Yeah, it was saying you can't play this game. And if you want to play any of these games, you have to just buy an Xbox 360. That's what they actually said. I think that's what, what's-his-face, Phil Spencer said.
You can't use this. You have to buy it. Once you use your code. And then Sony brilliantly made fun of them.
This is how you trade a game to your friend. And you just hand him the game, and he goes, done.
That was hilarious.
That's like Wendy's Twitter to IHOP right now. Yes, real savage.
Let's talk about our redheaded stepchild. Let's talk about EA.
Oh, like Devil May Cry?
Devil May Cry 5.
Out of the blue.
I love Devil May Cry.
It's so good. It's so
just
crazy.
It's just as crazy as I remember it. And I love it.
It reminds me of like Bayonetta. Bayonetta is like Devil May Cry's sister game.
Yeah, well, Devil May Cry 4 was before Bayonetta and all that.
Oh, yeah.
So all these like cool hack and slash lessons that Capcom's learned, they could bring it to like a really dedicated Devil May Cry game. Mm-hmm. I'm very excited
for
that.
It's going to be awesome.
So let's talk about EA.
They did not. This is what my prediction was, I think, was that they were going to. I don't know if I told you about this prediction, but my prediction was that they were going to say, just kidding, here's some Mass Effect Andromeda DLC.
That would have been crazy, but
instead, of course, we got Anthem.
Yeah, they showed off a lot more of Anthem, which knowing what Anthem was not an issue.
They are going at Destiny really hard.
Yeah, I looking at Anthem, they are really putting a lot of eggs in baskets.
Yes. Well, and they're specifically, I believe they're actually targeting Destiny very specifically, and that's fine because that's
because every piece of gameplay has a multiplayer.
No game is like Destiny. Destiny is sort of like a one-of-its-kind game because it took the greatness of Halo and then the majesty and brilliance of like an MMO, and it smashed it together, and it worked. Now, I know people are saying, well, clearly Destiny 2 is not working right now, but it actually is.
The problem with those things is it peters out.
It does. So we got Forsaken for Destiny, but and that's coming out. That's probably going to be an episode, too. But EA showed Anthem a lot. They showed like 25 minutes or an hour of gameplay for Anthem. Yeah. That was interesting. That was big.
And also, that game is really far along. I didn't realize how it looks great.
Well, I felt like we've seen the same areas twice.
Yeah, it looks like, and that's the thing I'm worried about is it going to be this one world? Is it going to get samey?
I did get tired of seeing like, okay, there's a lot of shrubbery. Well, shrubbery, and I've played a lot of Far Cry. Shrubbery is the way to be lazy making map design.
Yeah, because
you don't need. You need a texture for the underlayer. You need a bunch of plants. You need some trees. And you need some geometry to stick out and look like we cared.
Yeah.
Now, I'm saying that, and I love Horizon Zero Dawn, but that is, I mean, you know, it's similar.
That map is smaller than you think it is in Horizon Zero Dawn. It just disguises itself.
It looks very wide open and big, but there's nothing over there, and there's nothing over there, and there's nothing over here, and there might be eventually. We might put something over there in the game's DLC 1 or patch 1, but this is the direction I go. It's very... seems open world, but it's like we're going to go past this guy. We're not going to do anything. That's still linear. Just it's linear with a choice.
Yeah.
Which seems, it's still linear.
Yeah. And I'm worried about that with Anthem is that it's going to be a shoot and grind kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it's going to take a little too much from Destiny, that it's going to be find enemy, kill, rinse, repeat, which is a shame because they can do a lot of interesting things with the mechanic of flying around and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, basically being Iron Man.
Mobility, well, and different types of Iron Man. You know, there's multiple suits. There's different suits or whatever they're called, rigs or whatever XYZ jargon they have. It's looking like it's going to be a great game. I'm sure I'm going to play it. I hope that they took what they learned from Mass Effect. A little bit about that in a minute, but I hope they took.
I was looking at it and thinking this looks like Mass Effect Andromeda's gameplay or what they tried.
Well, it's a lot of the platforming that the Frostbite engine was made to do for Andromeda, but it was really just like the what we could get done so we can release Andromeda, so eventually we can make money, so we can eventually cancel BioWare Montreal, and in the meantime cash out, because EA made their money on Andromeda, and that sucks because people got laid off and Mass Effect, you know, sort of got canceled.
Yeah.
Turns out Mass Effect is not canceled. BioWare is in no way, and EA is in no way done with Mass Effect. They said that in their spot.
The fact that they have to.
It's sad that they have to, but the fact that they said it goes, okay, to me, says, okay, they're aware this hurt people, this hurt their fans, and, you know, it's not like hurt feelings or whatever, but like, you know, I'm trying to figure out something, because I mean, whenever I heard that it was canceled, I was like, oh no, that can't be right. Yeah. You know, I misread that. Because I really love that series and I love that environment, that universe, and I want more of that. That's where I've spent a lot of my time. To hear it just canceled and not get closure, because people got upset with Mass Effect 3. At least there was some sort of closure. It wasn't good closure, and Citadel came out and sort of remedied that a little bit.
Right.
And it was a love letter sort of closure. But it's the same thing with Half-Life 3, where we're not getting closure to that game, and they're not saying that it's canceled. They're also not saying, like, we were developing it and now it's canceled. They're just not saying anything. So it's sort of more of the Final Fantasy VII treatment.
They're not saying anything. Is
It, the silence is very loud in this case, so it's really unfortunate.
All right. Well, I think we're out of time for our show. We're going to talk about this more next week, huh?
Before we go, though, let's talk. There's one last thing I wanted to bring up.
Okay.
I purposely gave you the wrong time.
You lied to me.
I want to talk about this. So did you watch the Ubisoft segment where they talked about Starlink? Did you see Starlink?
No.
That weird Skylanders Lego thing?
Oh, they're pumping this thing out again?
It's this, it's you make a ship out of these, I don't know, Metabot pieces or something, and you scan the ship, or the ship is like connected to your controller somehow.
Uh-huh.
And your ship appears in game.
Ooh.
And your characters are like, hey, we're going to go take down this thing. And then the craziest thing happens. Miyamoto shows up and says Star Fox is also going to be in this game.
Oh, cool.
And I'm pretty sure this game is going to be for Switch. And it's going to be for Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and Switch. And Star Fox is going to be in it. Let's just take that in for a minute. Starlink, Battle for Atlas.
Ubisoft and Nintendo sure are getting cozy.
So... let me be very, very clear. Star Fox is not going to be in the Xbox One and PlayStation 4 version.
Mm-hmm.
But they're going to have Star Fox exclusively in the Switch version. What?
They are getting really chummy, huh?
And then Rabbids got DLC. Rabbids got Donkey Kong DLC, I think.
Which
is just ridiculous.
I love that game.
Yeah. We are out of time, though. You are correct. So I just want to end on that ridiculous, ridiculous note. Next week, we're going to come back. We're going to talk to you about the next evolution of E3 and see what shook out.
It's
going to
be a lot more Nintendo-focused since they're going to be finishing up today.
Yeah.
And the smaller guys will be there. So we're going to do that. We're going to do our next show next week.
Yep. Check us out online, exppoints.com/social. Like, subscribe, follow us, do it, all that stuff. Remember, double tap that P. I have been MG.
I have always been Dustin.
We are going to end with one song, First Crush by Sarah Pulse and Knife City. And we will see you guys next Wednesday. Remember, next week, though, probably Sunday, starts the Steam summer sale. So, going to be some spinning people out there. Hope your wallet's ready, Dustin.
Oh, Lord.
All right. We'll see you next time. You've been listening to the Experience Points Radio Show exclusively on Southeastern Zone
90.9 KSLU.
You have a fateful look.
I'm sorry. I feel like I'm about to take the black.
On
Sunday, it's like, oh, so my watch begins.
How much money, how many dollars do I have to throw at this? How deep are my pockets?
I think I'm going to end up spending like 50 or 60 bucks.
Nice. Probably.